Cowabunga, Buffalo Bob. Here comes the colonel.
Oh, yeah. They don't give up. They never give up. They never seem to give up. I don't know. You know, a lot of you probably know our studio shares in the building. There's several studios, and one down the hall is the auditions for Comedy Central. And they sneak in here when we're not looking, and they disrupt the program. And so there's nothing we can do about it. Go back to Comedy Central and quit interfering with a legitimate, honest science program. Yes, of course. All right. Well, it seems there's nothing we could do much about that. Well, welcome back. The second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. We've going to have kind of some from farewell remarks here from John Sinise. He's the industrial engineer and firestop expert that's going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference going on in Boston in May. That'd be May 9th through the 12th, I believe. I got this here. Yes, of course. And if you want to know more about that, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link, and that will lead you over to the website for the Homeland Security Technology Conference, where John is speaking. He's going to be speaking on critical infrastructure protection for substations and transformers. That's been a burning issue on this program. We've been complaining for some time that there's not enough protection to our electrical grid, and I hope that John can make some inroads with the power companies on this. They've been terribly arrogant about it in the past, saying that they have so much redundancy that they don't have to protect themselves from cyber warfare, or in John's case, physical attacks on the substations, which we know happened in California back a few years ago. Of course, they point out that there was still no power loss to Silicon Valley, even though the substation was shot up for about 19 minutes very surgically by high-powered rifles. But the rest of us remember 2002 when a tree limb fell on a power line in Ohio and shut down the entire electrical grid for the whole Northeast. I mean, we lose our police and our fire protection. We lose our communications and, you know, our defense, everything. I mean, we're helpless. So it's very important to keep them safe. And we're reminded just when you think you're the safest, you know, that's when you're the most vulnerable. So we're really pulling for John to be able to meet with these power companies and get his protections in place. So we've got a final word coming from him and how to contact him and those sorts of things, some words of wisdom from John. And, of course, at the end of the program, we're going to have the listener comments of the Voice of Reason, one of those popular parts of the show. And right now, though, after John, too, incidentally, Donald Trump, have you heard his latest outrageous comment? His outrageous quote, we'll feature that, and a little-known program that he's calling for that a lot of people aren't getting coverage for because it's made mainly a science question. And so it's not getting a lot of national press, but we'll talk about that too. So right now, let's go over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar for just a minute so we can pay off the fountain. And today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information.
Yes, of course. I see all we have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right, old spirit of the fountain, here's one that's going to stump you. What principality is home to most native speakers of Cymric? Cymric. What principality is home to the people that speak that native language, Cymric? Cymric.
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the
Yes, it seems, never to fool the spirit of the fountain. The principality that's home to the native speakers of Cymric is, of course, Wales. You know, a lot of us didn't even know Wales is a principality, but of course it's part of Great Britain, part of the United Kingdom. All right, back to our program. Okay, we want to wrap up with our very exciting guest from the first half hour. If you just tuned in, we've been speaking with John Sinise. He's with Ballistics Fire Barriers, LLC. He's an industrial engineer, fire stop expert. John has served as a fire stop consultant, educator, engineer, expert on fire barriers, inspections, designs, deployment, and assessment for over 30 years. And he's fascinating because we've been really concerned on this program, as you know, if you've been a steady listener, that for the protection of our substations. And he's going to have a talk at the IEEE 2016 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies that's going on in Boston, May 9 through 12, the famous and historic International Conference on Homeland Security, and he's a major part of it. He's going to be telling about protecting our substations. In fact, the title of his talk is going to be Critical Infrastructure Protection for Substations and Transformers. Fascinating stuff. A frontal assault on our substations with small arms, with grenade launchers. And we even got into how it was going to protect against drone traffic hitting. He's got these cantilevers protection things. And just fascinating. You're going to really enjoy seeing him at the conference if you manage to make it. If not, I hope you will get some benefit out of this particular program because John has been, as I say, a fascinating guest. But we want to be sure we've covered everything and also John's contact information and his website.
Well, what have we missed? What have I failed to ask you about anyway?
Well, hey, you know, we're busy here in the Northeast, but, you know, I've got a busy family, got a lot of things going on, as a lot of people do, and... you know, I really, I guess I appreciate the time to, you know, to speak with you today. You know, as far as what we've done, what we've missed, I think, is what's coming up. You know, it changes every day, and it really is moving forward. Although we, you know, we work with standards and we work by, you know, with real engineering principles. New ideas, new thoughts, important areas to work in. You know, as that comes up, I hope to speak to you again and give you some good updates about it, you know, and, you know, and really, you know, keep the topic, as you mentioned, it's kind of something that doesn't really rise to the top, but it's critical to us. It's critical to, we feel the infrastructure. And, so anything we could do to, answer questions or get that word out, please just let us know.
Absolutely, and you're in the Northeast, and it's interesting. Our radio program originates in Dallas, Texas, although we cover all the IEEE conferences that are going on, particularly...
We love Dallas. We love Dallas.
well, good. Where in the Northeast are you? Are you in Boston?
Actually, New Jersey, which is, you know, believe it or not, hey, you know, I'm born and bred, you know, in New Jersey. I'm a Newark College of Engineering student, so way back when. And and we have a lot of industry here, so I got to cut my teeth in some great places here in the Northeast Corridor. But but we do travel the country. You know, I mentioned we don't have much seismic up here. That's all West Coast work. So realize that you know what we do is national and sometimes international. So you know, but New Jersey is a great place to be. We can get anywhere.
I think your governor is seismic enough in New Jersey. Chris Christie
certainly has been. There's a lot of action here. Yeah. A lot of action.
Has been very, very seismic, and he certainly is very entertaining and lots of fun. And how do we find you?
Hey, you can find us at ballisticfirebarrier.com. And, of course, give us a call, 732-232-2100. There's an email at the site, info at Ballistic Fire Barrier. But please get in touch with us. We love questions and comments and thoughts. So thank you.
Do you have maybe a view of the future? I know this is a difficult question, but sometimes people on the program really do can look forward 5, 10, 20 years down the road and see how society, the world is changing and that sort of thing. I know you must be on this because you're so involved with industrial engineering and that sort of thing. Put on the thinking cap for a minute. Look 5 years, 10 years, 20 years or more down the road. What do you see?
Sure. Well, you know, I see a real integration of some real great work. You know, be it how, for instance, in the area we're working in, just how equipment is built, how it's protected, the size of equipment. I mean, you could see just what's gone on with computers in the last 30 years, you know, from room size to pocket size. And I think we'll see some of that as well with some of the utilities and some of the systems and processes. Again, you know, it's been dormant for so long. You know, the last 10 years have been a lot of great thought. You know, when a lot of infrastructure isn't built, and when things slow down in the building side, people tend to flock toward education. So we've done a lot in the last 10 years in just in education, you know, particularly in the Northeast since 9/11, and protection of large infrastructure from events and doing that in a city environment. So the education that's gone on the past 10 years and the ideas, I think now is just as the economy wakes up and people wake up, it's just starting to come off the drawing board. And that's what I see the next 10 or 20 years. And I'm hoping, you know, the next group of engineers, and they seem to get it, they're really going to take us there. But it's going to be a great integration of the thought of how to build something, what to build it out of, what to protect it from, how to protect it, and what to protect it with, perhaps. And all those questions, you know, I think they're going to be more in the design phase. You know, it's not going to be so much of an afterthought. It'll be more in the design phase. And, you know, that's what we kind of look forward to, this just becoming part of the normal thought process of infrastructure and building the country or rebuilding the country with the thought of protection. And again, we don't want to wall everything up, but we do want to, you know, think some things out. And, you know, there's a lot of work to do in this country, and we're hoping to be part of it, and we're really hoping to see some great ideas, again, you know, come off the drawing board and really get funded and move forward and move this country forward this way.
Well, I'm so glad you pointed out the new awareness, because, quite frankly, this we've been here at the studio, we've been wrestling with these engineers for a long time. We have a close association, of course, with IEEE, and when we go to them and say, hey, look, what are you doing to protect your SCADA systems? What are you doing to protect your substations? What are you doing to ensure that our electrical isn't going to be interrupted? And they come back and they say, hey, look, we've got all these redundancies. We've got all these switches in place. Even the place in California that was attacked, you know, it didn't shut off the power to Silicon Valley. And we say, well, yeah, right, in that particular situation. But what if there was a concerted attack on a lot of different substations? Then what are you going to do? So you're talking about new awareness. This is something that is very, very heartening to us here at the Science News Radio Network. And I'm so glad that you're able to wake some of these people up and get some of these new engineers that are coming along to really pay attention to the things that you're doing. One thing more before we go. I know that you've mentored other people, and you've probably been mentored in your life. You may have some words to live by, maybe a creed that people can latch on to and follow. If you were going to have a new protege come aboard, or your son or daughter, and you want to give them some maybe words to live by, what do you have for us? Anything you can leave us with?
Well, you know, it really just comes down to thought, I think, you know, and, you know, it's a life where you can really drive some things if you try. And, we're always trying to be innovative and trying to look for the solution. And I'd mentioned in the beginning, voice of the client. And that came to me a long time ago. You know, us engineers, we shoot the dart right for the center of the target. And sometimes that's not the game you're playing. And, listen to the client. You know, the engineers, these guys that are out there know what they need, and it's up to us to give solutions with some of the new things. So I'm hoping everyone keeps their ears and eyes open, and we all work together and make this all happen. So.
Well, John Sinise, you've been a great subject here. We've had so much fun having you on. Industrial engineer, fire stop expert, principal with Ballistic Fire Barriers, LLC, going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference. That's going on, of course, 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Westin Hotel in Boston, Massachusetts, actually Waltham. They like us to say that, but it is, of course, Boston, the famous and historic international conference on homeland security. John's going to be speaking, and then he's going to have a display demonstration, a table there to show all the things that are going on in the exciting industry of protecting our electrical substations. Thank you so much for being with us. You've been just absolutely a sensational subject.
No, thank you, Colonel Mason. It's been great to talk to everybody, and appreciate the time. Great.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as promised, here's the latest outrageous quote by Donald Trump that has come to our attention. Apparently, somebody asked him, don't you take a little pity on the downtrodden and the people that, you know, have a hard way in life and can't make it? You seem so callous to those people. And so Donald Trump is alleged to have answered, "Look, life is like a penis. Sure, it's often really hard, but sometimes that's what's needed to get the job done." Close quote, Donald Trump. He never ceases to amaze, does he? And, of course, the other thing that is being reported, underreported, actually, we're hearing about it on the Science News program because it has to do with science news. But according to Carbon Pulse, this is from last Friday it came to us. Carbon Pulse is a news and intelligence on carbon markets and greenhouse gas pricing and climate policy and that sort of thing. And they report that Trump proposes national carbon tax to fund the U.S.-Mexican wall. Yeah, he's proposing a national carbon tax to fund the U.S.-Mexican wall. I don't know if it's occurred to Donald yet, but a carbon tax, that's a Democratic program. That's a Democratic issue and has been constantly blocked by Republicans as being stymie to business. Anyway, the article reads in part, "A nationwide carbon tax could raise enough revenues to fund the construction of a wall between the United States and Mexico," Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump announced Friday morning in a surprise policy U-turn on the climate change issue. Previously claiming that he was not a big believer in man-made global warming, Trump, it seems, has now embraced and coordinated a national approach to reducing U.S. greenhouse emissions in a move that he said will also help stop illegal immigration. And this is another quote by Trump. "Really, it's a no-brainer. We make the left-wing tree huggers happy by introducing a price on carbon, and we make many right-wing supporters happy by closing the funding gap for my wall," he said in a statement. His wall, of course. "I'm surprised," this close, again, he's, we're quoting, "I'm surprised no one's proposed a market-based solution to fighting climate change until now. In any case, no one does market-based solutions better than me." Well, of course there's been a market-based solution proposed before now. It's come up in Congress how many times, and how many times has it been defeated? Because, of course, around the world, as we've reported too, places that have had a carbon tax have done really badly economically. I mean, it's almost ruined the economy of Europe, so much so that many of them, European countries, are backing up from the practice. So, you know, once again, is Trump informed? Liking climate change, this is back to the story again on Carbon Pulse. "Likening climate change potential effects on the U.S. economy to the factors that led to the decline of East Coast resort and gambling mecca Atlantic City, where the billionaire developer built much of his fortune," Trump said the time for inaction had passed. And again, we're quoting Trump, "First and foremost, we need to understand how the Chinese invented global warming. And then we need to figure out how they smuggled it into this country." And he says, "Obama has really dropped the ball on climate change," he added, echoing a widely held criticism among lawmakers and green groups worldwide that the current administration has done little on the issue. And the article goes on to read, "Only time will tell, however, as to whether Trump's plan will come to fruition as he faces fierce competition from Texas Senator Ted Cruz for the Republican nomination, a rival who himself has proposed his own controversial strategy for the United States to adapt to climate change. Looking forward to his birth nation, Cruz said that if elected, he would invade Canada and relocate the United States north to gain better access to cleaner water and better beer." That's Cruz.
So some more details on Trump's and Cruz proposals can be found at carbonpulse.com. And good voting in your primaries, where whatever happened, state you happen to be in. This is the most comical election I have ever experienced. And I go back. I can still remember, yes, as a little kid, watching the Republican convention in 1952 when Eisenhower was drafted. It seemed like things were so much more serious in those days. You know, I mean, we had a Cold War. We were worried about the nuclear annihilation. There was Quemoy and Matsu, the islands, you know, that Nixon and Kennedy argued about. All sorts of things that were happening. And then along comes, Barry Goldwater, the conscience of a conservative. He wrote the book and then got the nomination in 64. And, that was just... I mean, the things, that we have seen, it has been such a remarkable, remarkable political history in this country, just from the time that I've been alive. And, it's not really unusual, because you go back, another century or so. I mean, prior to the Civil War, we had senators beating each other with canes on the floor of the Senate, arguing over the preservation of the Union and the slavery issue. So many things have been going on. Well, a few closing comments here to remind you that John Sinise is going to have an exhibit at the IEEE International Conference on Homeland Security, which will show how we can protect our electrical grid transformers and substations from attack, from physical attack. And I hope we will take him seriously, because it has just been, there's too much at stake in having our substations and our transformers being open. Cascading power failures. Have a power failure in one area, cascades over another area, shut down vast areas of the country, and we just don't need that when we're looking at terrorist threats. And then, remind you, is going to be at the International Conference on Homeland Security is going on May 9 through the 12th in Boston, Massachusetts. You can find out more information on that by going to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link, and you can go there, and it'll tell you all about it. A lot of neat things going on. I understand Mark Bukowski. This time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I actually sat in on the focus groups that we did with the survivors from Superstorm Sandy, how isolated people felt and how alone they felt and how they feared the dark and different things like that. And the feeling part really stuck with me. So I carry around this quote by Maya Angelou, the author and poet, which is, "I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel." Mary Ellen Randall, founder and CEO of Ascot Technologies in Cary, North Carolina. I'm a past director of IEEE and MOVE project director.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.